History That Doesn't Suck is a legit, hard-hitting American history podcast told through entertaining stories. History That Doesn't Suck, an Odyssey podcast, available wherever you get your podcasts.
Let's welcome in Eric Semmel from Tab Computers, and again, Computer Tab 9 to 11 a.m. here on WTIC on Saturday mornings. Eric, good morning. How are you?
Hey, good morning, Brian. How are you doing?
I'm good. I'm sorry we're not together today. I wanted to start with something that wasn't on your list. Maybe you can't even comment on it, but I'd like you to take a look at it. It's a really good, thanks to a listener to getting me the full copy of it, a piece in the Wall Street Journal about how AI is changing like everything in terms of how we procure answers on the internet, and it's having a serious negative effect on news organizations. So people are using chatbots, which I just used one for the first time a couple weeks ago. They're using chatbots instead of searching like on Google, and even Google's AI is answering your questions before you click on links, right? So people aren't clicking on links, and so news organizations are not getting traffic, which means even if it was fragile revenue, it was still revenue, and that this could be like another leg of the death of the news website. I mean, have you seen anything on this, or do you have any thoughts on it?
I do, actually. You know, search engine marketing is also being impacted. So when you do any kind of search engine marketing, you have advertisements that you're paying for in a Google search. And thanks to the AI summaries that Google is actually producing, people are no longer having to go to your links, right? They can search all sorts of whatever the topic might be and get their answers without actually going to the links or even having ads displayed. Right. So Google is actually eating its own lunch there. The irony of the news story you're talking about, though, as far as news outlets complaining about this or worrying about this, the same, they were going to force Google to pay them, if you recall, and wanted to have Google pay them for even linking their newspapers to Google search. So it is ironic that now that Google's saying, you know what, we're just going to AI this, and you're going to have even less access to the news organizations. You're right, you're going to find even more news organizations impacted by this. There needs to be a happy medium in there. The other issue too, Brian, is Google AI or any AI in general sure makes a lot of mistakes. You can Google whatever you'd like, and if you don't go to the source material, you can find Google saying one thing, you know, the sky is blue, and then before you know it, the sky is purple or whatever color they decide to make it. And so there's lots of issues there. I wouldn't necessarily trust the search results you get, but they're going to ingest anything they can on the interwebs and then give you the AI output and do its best to guess if it's the right information.
Well, what's really fascinating, we need to move on, is to me, as like a news person, is that eventually these news sites, it disincentivizes them to report on things. So eventually there'll be less and less information to actually call to answer the question. So like it could end up, the unintended consequences, it could totally cannibalize the world of information.
I agree with you. And these news organizations need to actually have some cases that say, this is my copywritten material. Google, you do not have access to ingest it and then spit it back out as your material. And that's something that's just, again, to me, seems like a Napster fight. If you remember all the fight about Napster and the copywritten material, I do not know why this fight has not occurred. I know the New York Times and other folks have sued the AI companies for ingesting all their material without their permission. So I think it's just a, you know, a legal fight that has to happen, and then they'll be paid for their content. That way, Google will pay for the AI generation that they're producing. And I think at that point, your problem could be solved.
Interesting stuff. Thanks, Eric. I appreciate you calling the audible or letting me do it. Eric Semmel, Tab Computers. Again, Computer Talk with Tab, 9 to 11 a.m. on Saturdays here in WTIC, and every Tuesday here at 8:20 with Tech Tuesday. Let's rip through a few of these. The one that, you know, listen, this drone delivery with Walmart, I mean, I don't think it's in Connecticut. And I mean, drones freak me out. If I had a drone hovering around my driveway, I would freak out. But I mean, this seems like this is the wave of the future, because it'll be less expensive for these companies. And if they can actually make it, literally put it on your doorstep, it's going to happen. Just talk about it.
Yeah, so I saw this story, and obviously we've talked about potential of drone deliveries for a while, and Walmart keeps stepping up and increasing this, and I guess they've done it in other cities like Orlando and Tampa, but you have to be within 6 miles of the store. But I agree, having a drone fly overhead and, I don't know, drop the dog food you ordered on your head, I assume they're going to try to land somewhere. I'd be freaked out too, but they've done 150,000 deliveries this way. I've never seen one occur. I'm almost tempted to try to figure out how to get one to happen just to see how it works. But, you know, you're not going to have these trucks driving around the place, if you just think about the inefficiency of all these vehicles, I mean, I got, you know, an Amazon truck stopping by for, you know, a pair of nail clippers. How inefficient is that? And so wouldn't it be great to just have the drone pop up, fly over, drop the nail clippers right on my doorstep or whatever you're going to have to do? You may have to create your own little landing pad, but I have no idea. But the most ordered items includes bananas, lemons, limes, and eggs. I mean, who's going to order egg via a drone? It just seems crazy. Remember that thing we did in middle school where you tried to drop your egg from a distance? And I don't know how high they are when they drop these things or what they do to land in your front yard, but just this seems like a problem waiting to happen when they crash into your house. But who knows? Just, somebody's got this thing going. Really,
it's like example number 720 of sci-fi becoming reality way before I'm ready for it. A couple quick AI things here. You know, the OneDrive, a lot of people use OneDrive, and but is it possible that ChatGPT could actually call that for what they do?
Yeah, that's another thing, right? So this story talks about OneDrive security flaw might share everything in your cloud with third-party services. So OneDrive has a tool where you can do a file picker where you can kind of share a specific document access to somebody else. The problem is that it could also inadvertently share access to your entire tenant or your entire account to ChatGPT, Slack, and Zoom. And again, ChatGPT wants to learn on what you're doing. And so Microsoft is aware of this flaw or this bug that you might be sharing more, much more than you think you are. And they're really, they're taking it under advisement, but they're like, well, you kind of should know what you're sharing. They're kind of putting it on the user to say it's really your issue. They have no priority for this fix, but this is the other issue of the cloud, right? You're out there sharing something, you're sharing a spreadsheet to your buddy, but before you know it, ChatGPT has full access to your entire Microsoft cloud account. And that's troubling. You know, you always want to deal with the least access, not the most access. And again, Microsoft is aware that this can happen, and it's a something they're aware of. They're not going to fix. And so before you start sharing a single file in your Microsoft tenant, make sure you know who you're sharing it with, because it could be with ChatGPT.
Hey guys, Fly on the Wall is back for another season. That's right, on audio and video every Monday and Thursday.
Follow and listen to Fly on the Wall everywhere you get your podcasts.
That's super, super. Makes me feel so good. Just 30 seconds. We know this to be true anyway, but like with social media sort of bans and restrictions coming into play, I mean, we can't even ban certain people from accessing porn.
Right. This kind of creeped me out. So this is a website. This is a news article on PC Mag, and it talked about Pornhub is blocked in 17 states and France. And then they talk about how to actually get around the block. And it is pretty straightforward. And we've talked about VPNs as far as how you can use VPNs to get around individual state blocks. Obviously, the lawmakers do not understand how these systems work. You need to actually force some sort of age verification by site, not by type of site. So, you know, saying that you need an age verification in, you know, Alabama, I can go ahead and connect the VPN to California, and now I'm in Alabama looking at whatever I want to look at. You need to force the sites to verify the users of those sites in order to enforce these laws. Otherwise, Chloe here, the article writer, she just told you exactly how to get around it, which, of course, a red-blooded 17-year-old boy is going to figure out how to do, probably without her article. So it looks like, the lawmakers need to do a better job of understanding how the technology works and understanding how, if they really mean it, if they really are serious about keeping people off of these sites that are underage, they'll make it more difficult to do. So just saying it's blocked is just silly.
Yeah. Eric, thanks so much, buddy. We'll see you next week.
All right, Brian, take it easy.
Hi, I'm PJ Vogt, and I want to tell you about my podcast, Search Engine. We try to make sense of the world, one question at a time. No question too big, no question too small. We will even answer your questions if you send them in. Stuff like, what happens when a cemetery goes out of business? What should we do about teens using AI to do their homework? Who buys luggage at the airport luggage store? Follow and listen to Search Engine in partnership with Odyssey wherever you get your podcasts.